I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and this is Boston Public Radio. Well, it sure seems like all eyes are on the Olympic Games in London, doesn't it? But right now, as we speak, right here in our backyard, a handful of young athletes are completely and totally focused on a medium-sized Russian city on the Black Sea coast and the 552 days that they have left to make their lifelong dream become a reality. The city is called Sochi, and it's the site of the 2014 Winter Olympics. The sport is figure skating, and Boston promises to play an integral role in the story of the U.S. figure skating team come 2014. That is thanks in large part to the Skating Club of Boston. This is an organization that has got historic Olympic ties. Jim McManus is the club's vice president, and he's here with me now. Jim, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Good. Thank you for having us here today.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. You're literally, when I say in our backyard, collectively in our backyard, but in GBH's literal backyard, it seems, that Skating Club of Boston right here in Alston, you know, less than a mile from here.
I could have walked from there today. It's right around the corner, literally.
So tell me a little bit about what the club is, how it works, what it does.
Yeah, the club's been around for 100 years, which is...
On the nose.
On 2012 is our 100th anniversary.
Wow.
A huge celebration this year, and has a rich history of really working with the community. And we have lucky to have some very famous people that have represented our club. Tenley Albright and Dick Button are Olympic champions and members of our club. The club really is a place where everyone can come and skate. It has young learn to skate kids that come in and are very small and get on the ice, put on their helmet, and fall down, up to elite skaters that are preparing for the Sochi Olympics and trying to make that their dream.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those elite skaters. I mean, you talk about Dick Button, who's just a legend, but also in more recent years, people like Nancy Kerrigan, Emily Hughes, Paul Wiley, mm-hmm. they've also had ties to the club. How many folks in the club, or how many skaters are there now that are legitimately like preparing for the Olympics?
Well, you know, we're very blessed to have a number of our elite skaters at the club that are preparing. We actually have a single skater, Ross Miner, who's been our national bronze medalist the last 2 years and skates nationally, internationally. We have two pairs teams, Marissa Castelli, Simon Snapier, and Gretchen Donlin and Andrew Sparoff, who are both, they placed fourth and fifth this year at Nationals. And we have a new person who's just moved to go to school here, Christina Gao, who's a high-level skater and is looking at Sochi. And although he's not training at the club, my son actually skates out of the skating club down at the University of Delaware. He represents the Skating Club Boston. He's an ice dancer. And, you know, it's a part of his dream to try and make the Olympic team, too. So we're very lucky to have skaters at every single element of U.S. figure skating from our club looking to be on that podium in 2014.
And that's crazy. This is happening like right here in Boston. They're training right here in Boston. Although quickly, I just heard your son is really looking at the Olympics. Have you been watching the gymnastics?
I mean,
can you relate with Ali Reisman's parents who were seeing in the crowd kind of, they're almost like a character in this story. I mean, can you relate with them watching that?
Absolutely. Along with all the other parents at the club, we all share that it's out of your hands, out of your control, and you just want the best for them, and you just are along for the ride, really. And you do the best that you can to just support them in every way that you can. And the nice thing about our skating club, it's really a family environment. So whether it be my son or any of the other skaters out there, all of the parents are really just there to support them.
How hard are these athletes working, and how focused are they right now with still 2 years to go before the Olympics? How regimented is their routine right now?
They're skating just about every day, at least five days a week, some more. They're on the ice 4 to 5 hours a day. And in addition to that, there's, as you can imagine, to be in shape to do the things that they need to do, there's off-ice regimen, whether it be off-ice training, weights, cardio, but they're also doing ballet, they're doing dance, they're doing everything that they need to do to get their bodies in shape. And it's a huge commitment. It's a full-time commitment.
Yeah.
And they're going year-round. They really do not. Although they cycle their training for when they're coming up to competitions, they're training all year-round.
So right now, in the summer heat, there are elite skaters right around the corner at the Skating Club for Boston working toward the Olympics.
I just walked out of the club to come here, and they're all on the ice right now skating.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So the elite, you know, training that happens at the skating club, that's just one piece of what goes on there. So Talk to me a little bit about, I would imagine that most of the members of the club are not in the elite category. What are the rest of the members doing? What's happening?
Well, you know, I did tell you that it is a sense of community. It's really a family environment. And part of the magic of the Skating Club of Boston is that you can, whether you're a skater or whether you're not, there's a place for you at our club. Its rich history allows us to have more of a social aspect to the club as well. We have an upstairs that overlooks our rink, and so we have dinners every Friday evening, and it's really an occasion for people to come in and really touch base, and we do exhibitions. So whether you're a skating member or a non-skating member, you can participate. And we have so many events. A lot of our members come in and volunteer for our events, whether it be competitions or shows. We have just about 700 active members. With our family memberships, it's pushing close to 1,000. And that's just the members of our club. In addition to that, our Learn to Skate program, which is out of our skating academy, we have 1,500 Learn to Skate kids and adults that are learning to skate that are also members and going to the different various locations that we have.
So, you know, it is a club. You're talking about social aspects. Is there an air of exclusivity? Is it hard to get into? Is it expensive? Can anybody become a member of the skating club?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's very easy to be a member of our club. We really just have an application form that goes through. And the nice thing is that we offer a lot of different types of memberships to the club. And when I say that we have non-skating members, we literally do have people who have memberships and they don't skate. They just want to participate. But we have memberships that allow you to really grow through your skating elements, whether you're a Learn to Skate, we have an opportunity to be a member there. And then we have what we call bridge memberships, which really bridges you from being a Learn to Skate to maybe a competitive skater, and that grows into the elite skater. And because of all these different memberships, it's affordable to anyone that would like to come through that process. And yes, skating is a very expensive sport.
Yeah.
Ice, anything that has ice or a pool or those types of things, hockey, can be expensive, but I think it is much more accessible now than it has ever been.
Now, you guys are growing, as I understand it, and you've had a fairly recent deal that you struck with Harvard for a land swap because you're building a bigger facility. What's driving that? And tell me a little bit about the facility that you are building.
Well, the facility, the Quonset Hut facility that we have around the corner, is just reeked in history, and we love it. But we are basically bursting at the seams with 700 members and all of these programs, because in addition to the programs that I talked about for Learn to Skate and the elite skaters, we have team programs, we have synchronized skating, we have theater on ice, we have adult skating. And for us to be able to do that all on one surface is really stretching us. We're figuring it out, but it's stretching us. And the reality is that we really need to plan for the future for our club. And so we have been over a number of years looking for a new place to build a facility. And one of the main goals of that was to stay local. Many of our members are within a 50-mile radius of this area. And so we really wanted to stay also within Boston. We've built a huge sense of community with Boston. And so we were very lucky to be able to cut a deal with Harvard on a land swap, and we'll be moving over to a location on Lincoln Street, which is literally a mile down the street. And we'll be building our new facility there, a three-rink facility. The beauty of that is that we'll have one sheet of ice that will allow us to rent out and have some income, but then two sheets of ice on a day-to-day basis to really enhance the training environment that we have.
Will this mean more people in the Boston area will be able to skate, will get ice time, will be able to learn, start to learn at least how to figure skate, you know, kind of beyond just like flopping around on the ice, but actually learn the art of figure skating and maybe if they show some promise, move up the ladder?
Absolutely. And, you know, our club is set up to be able to shepherd those students through. And I think accessibility to ice has always been tough. And we were very lucky because in addition to the one surface that we have now, we have a partnership with the Parks and Recreation, and we manage the Frog Pond down in Boston,
Common.
And that has been a huge addition to our organization. And we're thrilled to be working with the mayor and the Parks and Recreation. That's actually where we've been able to build a new Skating in the Schools program. And that's provided that accessibility that you're talking about. We're working with two schools, the Washington Irving Middle School in Rosendale and the Mather School in Dorchester. And within this program, the kids come over to the Frog Pond. They can skate for free and get a lesson at the same time. And so they're getting access to something that they might normally not have access to. And the beauty of that is the Friends of the Public Garden, who share that space actually paid for the transportation to get those kids there. So we're lucky in that way.
Very cool. We got to wrap up in just a second, but I do want to mention you guys are hosting here in Boston the World Championships in 2014. So when we have our Olympic team getting set, that's all going to happen here in Boston, right?
It's our national championships will be held here. And so, yes, these students that we talked about, they're all going to be trying to get their Olympic dream, and the team will be picked in Boston in 2014.
Very, very cool. Well, if you want to learn more about how you can get on the ice yourself, see if you got the stuff to pull off a double Lutz or maybe a triple Sow Cow, or if you're like me, a more modest goal, like not falling down every 2 minutes, you can head to our website, WGBHnews.org. We've got all the information there. Jim McManus, VP of the Skating Club of Boston. Thanks so much. All right, this wraps up another edition of Boston Public Radio. If you joined us late and missed Emily's Week in Review or film critic Garen Daly, head to WGBHnews.org. We'll be back Monday. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Have a great afternoon.